Hello, I'm Tiffany the Lass.
And Hannah Lazar.
And we are at the World Beat Center with San Diego's Ambassador of the Arts and Activism, Makeda Dredd.
Greetings.
So, Makeda, thank you so much for meeting with us. And so you've been hosting this reggae show on a San Diego radio station, 91X, for 20-plus years, 26 to be exact. How did that start, and how did that evolve into such a great show that it is?
Well, I was on other radio stations, college radio station, KSDS, and also a black station, 92.5. So I've been on radio for, almost 30 years. I just knew that we needed a voice in San Diego, and I met Bob Marley, and I got into reggae music, because reggae music is in every country where people are suffering. And as Fela Kuti says, music is the weapon, and music is our weapon of the future, and we must really use that, because some of the things that Bob Marley, and he said that, some of the things that I sing about, if I would say it in a speech, I would be killed. So music is our weapon, and reggae music is about everybody in the world, every color, every race, coming together in unity, and it's for an enlightened society, and that's what we're trying to build. You know, we've come too far to go back with war and killing. I mean, it's amazing that that we are still using that energy that we're for early man for flight. You know, to fight or flight. So we're an enlightened society, which we know now that everything is interconnected. We're all one people. The flowers, the earth, the sun, all of us work together. And so that's why I've been in this industry for a long time, and that's why I do reggae music.
So when you speak of reggae music as being real positive and enlightened, and so how do you think that people that are struggling in such an oppressed situation, how do you think that they find that part of themselves to sing such positive, powerful music? I mean, reggae music makes people feel happy and good, and yet has a real strong political message. But how do you think people find that positive when they're being so oppressed?
It's the same as gospel music. As I grew up with gospel music and the slaves, you know, thinking that they don't weep, because the Lord will be there, and they'll come save them, you know, and that's all we have, and that's all the hope. And reggae music is our gospel music. And if you look at gospel music and the slaves, it was codes in those songs. It's wade in the water. You know, you just think, wade in the water. Wade in the water, children, you gotta wade in the water. And it was what they were saying, is wade in the water, because the dogs could not smell your scent when the slave masters would come after you. So, and then all these little, and they'd be hanging quilts out on the line, and the quilts were marking the trail of the Underground Railroad. So people really didn't know that. Those were codes. Reggae music has our codes. It's the same thing. It's the codes. When they banned on Clear Channel, because 91X was Clear Channel at one time, Clear Channel bought everything, and it bought 91X, and we're not Clear Channel, we bought ourselves back. But at the same time, Clear Channel banned George Harrison. Imagine, you could not play Imagine because of the war. You could not play What's Going On by Marvin Gaye. Mm-hmm. But they didn't ban Bob Marley. They didn't have a clue. And I was playing War, dun, 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 you know. And they, you know, because they're codes. Then it put the Wow was codes. Mm-hmm. So we had those codes. And that's why reggae music is for suffering people. Who knows it, feels it. Every suffering country, every country I went to, and I've been all over the world, reggae music is playing. Bob Marley is the king. Everywhere you go, I was in an island going, it was in Fiji, and I saw somebody come, we way in a jungle like a dugout, and he had a reggae t-shirt on, and I waved at him, you know. And, you know, it's everywhere I've been, you know, the reggae, the roots, you know. You have dance hall, that's a whole nother thing. That came after Bob Marley, that's for dancing fun. And some of it, you know, have hardly any meaning. But reggae roots music, which will always last. You know, the dance hall comes in, that Shaggy comes in, Sean Paul, there'll be another sensation. But roots reggae will be here forever, because it's for the liberation of the people. And none of us are free until all of us are free. And the liberation comes within. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to, it may look like really bleak, it looks out there, we're like, how are we going to do this? It's in saving one person. If you're a mother and you're taking care of your children and you're growing children up to be open-minded and loving, that's liberation. You're feeding your kids and you're coming home being a mother is the biggest soldier that we can have on this planet. Being a woman is the biggest soldier that we can have on this planet, because the woman is the first teacher of man. Woman is the first teacher of man. And a woman is so important in this struggle for truth and rights. You know, and that's what it is. We just want truth and rights. You know, we don't want to conquer anything. We don't want to take over the government. It's just the freedom of our rights, which our forefathers and foremothers fought for, both black, white, Irish, Italian. You know, everyone came to this country, you know, for freedom, you know, except the slaves who were, you know, brought here, and the Native American Indians, their struggle. And we got to remember, they're the keepers of this land, you know, and the struggles that they went through. And if you read Native American history, you would be ashamed, you know. And if you read true history, so getting back to your question, reggae music, you know, is here. It's the people. It's the simple people, and that's where the struggle is with. The simple people. It's very simple. Little by little, feeding people, taking care of your neighbor. If someone's sick down the street, you go down there. You give to someone. And you teach your kids that. That's enlightenment. And that's what we're teaching our children, is compassion, you know, for this whole planet. And that all of us are interconnected. There's no separate being. And that's what they want to teach us. And they started that, you know, look out for number one. Remember that was in the 80s and stuff? But we're all interconnected. And that's what reggae music teaches us, unity.
Your show on Sundays, Reggae Makossas, you've mentioned that it's been on for over 20 years and Clear Channel came in and bought it. Program managers have come and gone. DJs have come and gone. How did you convince them to keep your Sunday show on the air?
I didn't convince them anyway. They didn't even know what I was about. And I just stayed invisible, like. And, of course, I said our music is in codes. And they were interested in something else. And they didn't know how to approach it. And I just lay dead, did my show, and went on. I've been over three management changes, and they fired everybody, and we're still here. And I think, actually, it's
amazing.
It's a miracle of God. I really think it's Jah. I think it's really Adonai or Melchizedek or all Malcolm, Sojourner Truth, Marcus Garvey, you know, Martin Luther King. I think their spirit, when you do things that are good, their spirit actually comes within you. And you're doing that work for them. Because that's why we have all these days. When I have Marcus Garvey Day, I feel Marcus Garvey here. I feel care. I know what they did to him. They put him in prison, which was really unfair. You know, just like, you know, Rudolf Steiner or any of these great, you know, people that invented things. They burned some of their books. And all. So I feel those people. And I feel Sojourner Truth. And I feel Harriet Tubman. And, you know, I really feel these people's spirit. You may not have the body, but those spirits will live on to work through you. So I think that their spirit has kept us going. Even when in the park there was trials and tribulations, I know they were here to carry us on. If you mean good, they will help. And the Most High will help. All the ancestors will help you. That's why in other countries and in Africa, ancestor worship is really important. To have an altar for your grandmother or your grandfather or who is gone and deceased. You know, they do it in Japan, they do it in China, and they do it in Africa. But we don't do it here. Your ancestors are your ambassadors to God, your ancestors. They'll try to help you from the spirit world onto this side. That's why having an ancestor altar is really important. You know, and just you and your ancestors there.
And you're doing good locally, and you're doing, you know, just taking 5 minutes out to help a friend that you don't even know is your friend yet. Maybe somebody you see on the street that's struggling at the stoplight. They have two kids in their hands, and they've got groceries, and you're on your way somewhere, but it would take 5 minutes to help either take the hand of the child or take the groceries and help her across the street. Something as simple as that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Something as simple as that.
You don't have to change the world right away.
No, it's changing. It's not changing the world. The whole secret is not changing the world. It's changing yourself. There's no other enemy. The only enemy is in you, and that's yourself. There's no enemy. Mm-hmm. There's no enemy. You know, the enemy is hatred. The enemy is anger,
jealousy,
all those things within us. And when we, you know, just helping the lady across the street, that's incredible. And driving, you know, people go nuts at driving. You know, they're selfish. You know, they may be nice, you know, then they get behind the wheel and they turn into monsters. Let the person go. Somebody's coming out of the driveway, let them go. You know, the whole thing is let go and let God. You just let go because you think you're the door. You are not the door. You know, you're being blessed. You know, and you open up those channels, the Most High, the ancestors, and whoever is out there will work through you. But it's doing good. You know, and we're not perfect because we wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. So when we recognize ourselves, not try to be, to forgive ourselves when we see ourselves selfish, or may have had a hard day. It's not easy to be a mother. You got to wash clothes, take care, ditch, shop. You know, you have no time for yourself, and you need time for yourself. Even if you go, what you do is go in the bathroom, give yourself some candles. That they'll be knocking on the door. They're gonna drive you crazy. Go in if you could, and even when they go to bed, take a nice hot bath. After you put them in bed, put a candle and be good to yourself. We give so much, we forget to be good to ourselves and strengthen ourselves and take that time to meditate, put some lavender oil in the bath to come back and, you know, and be in this world and serve. Being a mother is serving because you're raising future citizens.
Makeda, you're obviously a very spiritual person. Before you got into reggae music, were you spiritual then, or is this just a journey that you've taken on the past 26 years?
Well, I think being brought up as a African, the spirituality is always there. It's you know, we always had to be spiritual and go to church, and I used to be very, I always talk to God. I come from a very hard life, and when my mother and father wasn't there, and they weren't there, I had God, and I would, the Most High would manifest things for me. And God is a form of whatever. We don't know what, it's an energy. It's just the energy of oneness. And that was always my friend. And then later on, I studied. and I studied different spiritual. I would say instead of more religious, I'm spiritual. So I studied different things, and I met great people like the Dalai Lama of Tibet, like Swami Satchitananda that brought yoga to the West, and you know, I just met Alice Coltrane, which was friends with him, and just I've just studied a lot, and you know, and it brought me, you know, back to that self-government. That's the government we should have, is to govern ourselves and govern our like jealousies and fears. And they don't teach us that. They teach us to go out and consume and the more thing, get more things, and that's happiness. But that's impermanence. And I start looking at the world that's of an impermanence. You know, you're happy, you get some things, and you really want that object. And then later on, it doesn't give you happiness. You have to keep going and looking for permanent happiness. And to me, to be balanced and spiritual gives me permanent happiness, and to work for the good of others and children. You know, I love children. I love everyone. But our children is just like the Native Americans said. They said, this world is not ours. It's on loan from our children. So our children are everything to us. Like Kwanzaa, the corn represents the little on the ear corn, it represents the children. So that's all we have, and that's what we live for. So being spiritual inside and making ourselves a positive example to them, you know? And so when they ask me, you know, when people ask me, they, you know, I did an interview, and they asked me, you know, are you 420 or are you 510? Now, I knew what 420 was, and I didn't know what 510, you know. I said, 420, well, I don't smoke. And, you know, they go, you know, I go, no, I don't smoke anything. And I go, well, what's 510? It's a happy hour, you know. And I don't drink. And to me, I would like to be a positive example to the children. And, you know, I mean, of course, we had those times, you know, that we, you know, that was back in the day. But I'm so concerned with this world of what they see. Mm-hmm. You know, and even if they, you know, I really see them over medicated. I just say that. I know we've been there, and you know, it's really easy, you know, we've been, you know, but I just, when it gets to be yours, you start like, you know, you look at it a little bit different. And I see them really over medicated, over drinking. I'm with them. I'm a big babysitter.
Well, I think we should explain to our listeners that you're the director of the World Beat Center here in San Diego, and the drumming that you can hear are the children out there. You have classes, not just for children, but adults also. So you have a lot of people coming in and out of your doors, and you see what's going on.
And that's what they want you to do. They want you to be very medicated so that you don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. That's it. And if you take that time to change, you know, certain things around, to eat well, because that's they want us to eat the way they do. They want us to go into their pharmaceuticals and antibiotics that stop working after a period of time, and histamines and blah blah blah. Because the pharmaceutical company is making a lot of money, and you know who's part of the pharmaceutical company. So, it's very, very, you know, we do the World Beat Center. We're here right now. And we do classes, and it's very important that kids drum, because they drum right away. It helps the right brain, left brain. It's not like a violin that they have to know how to hold it in 50, so many years. They learn how to play the violin. A drummer's right away, and they can get out their, you know, aggressions and everything. Everybody should drum. Drumming is a heartbeat. We have also taiko drumming. We have all kinds of drumming around here, man. The drum would be driving me crazy after a while, but I love it, you know. We have taiko drum. You should hear the taiko drum. We have, Egyptian drumming, the dubeke, the belly dancing. We have like just incredible African dance, which is, opens up your just your chakras. So spiritually, dance is spiritual. Drumming is spiritual. Because you used to in Africa, you drum when there's a funeral, you drum when there's a wedding, you drum when there's a birth, and you drum when people are mentally ill. They have a beat that you drum, and you drum for days, and it clears the person from being mentally ill.
Hmm. You also at the World Beat Center have the George Washington Carver Garden. Can you tell our listeners about that?
Oh, I'm really excited about that. Thank you for asking. That's one of the best things. You know, I grew up gardening, and my mother kept me out there as a kid gardening. So we have the George Washington Carver Garden, and we, you know, he was a botanist and ethnobotanist, and it's an ethnobotany garden. And what that is anthropology and botany together. People don't like it. They don't like ethnobotanists. It's a great field. It's anthropology and botany. The reason why they don't like them is because it's the people and the plants of the area. So an ethnobotanist would really okay the Indians for using their ceremonial peyote or something, because that's their ceremonial. Because the anthropologist is very, you know, I took anthropology, it was my major, and they're very open and no prejudice. That's the first thing they teach you, you know, when you go in and observe. It's no prejudice. And, you know, that we're really one. That's why anthropologists can't get jobs or anything unless they work for the CIA and sit there and watch. Those are all those datas are anthropology. The anthropologists, they send them in, take studies of the people of town and everything instead of the good stuff they can do. But, yes, the garden, you know, really, ethnobotany garden teaches the kids about people and plants that grow in certain areas, and they can touch it, they can smell it, and you know, it's very important that kids see plants, and they all want to eat it. If you put that on their table, they would go ooh. But if they see it grown, they want to eat it raw. You know, so when we take the kids out there, it's very important because you are what you eat and you become what you think.
Well, especially if they're involved in propagating that earth.
Yes,
then it's something that they've created and they're excited about it. So you've got so many projects that you've dabbled in. I mean, and you've worked with pretty much everyone in the reggae world. But tell us about your Prophet Productions, how you got involved with Prophet Productions, Prophet.
Yeah. Well, I had a restaurant called the Prophet Vegetarian Restaurant, Prophet International Vegetarian Restaurant. It was really quite popular. Even George Harrison ate in there. And so... got my drums in the background, huh? So they're getting ready to do African dance, man. So don't feel like you're getting ready to jump in a pot, man. So from that, the Prophet restaurant, we started Prophet Productions. You know, because it comes to where we're the Prophet restaurant, so we had Prophet Productions. And then we start doing that with Bob Marley, Peter Tosh, Gregory Isaacs, Bernie Spear. Everybody in reggae music, and recently we got into St. Croix vibe. So we do Midnight, Desiree, those are the latest things in reggae music. St. Croix music from the Virgin Islands, you know, that's the hottest stuff that's coming out right now. But yeah,
and who are some of those artists? I'm
sorry. Midnight, Desiree, Batch and Ross Attitude, Mata Nile, Bamboo Station. We're the ones that brought this new movement here from the Virgin Islands. I mean, they're taking the lead right now in reggae music. Well, I won't even say the lead, but it's really inspiring the youth right now, because they went down, they slowed down the music. Because
they back
reggae
to
music,
the roots,
they're back, yeah, they got a real roots. They're the ones that brought it back to the roots. It's very slow and one drop, you know, and it's like, you know, really redemption. And then, you know, that's the music. It's not talking silly stuff. You know?
So Prophet Productions is really promoting world music, you know, from its basic all the way up to modern, contemporary reggae, if you will. So, I mean, that's an amazing feat, if you think about it.
Well, we're going full spectrum. And not only that, we are doing acts like Les Nubians. We're doing that December 6th. Also, we got jazz coming in. We got jazz coming in next week. It's Liberation Jazz. It's a tribute to Harvey Tapscott, which if you check him out, he was in South Central teaching all the youth jazz. Some of the kids came out now working with McCoy Tyner, Azar Lawrence, Arthur Blythe, which is from San Diego, was a big star. So we're bringing them down. That's going to be hot, man. Just a whole jazz series we've been doing here. So bringing jazz here, we got a free night too. We'd like to do a lot of things free. We got a Liberation Film Festival, and this festival is like, it's killer. I mean, Henry Clark, we got a film festival. It's called, we call it African Mental Liberation Films Festival. Because what you're going to do, you're going to see the Omex. The Omex were black in Mexico. You're going to see things that you didn't know. And it's presented by Dr. Kwaku Lin, a historian from Los Angeles. So we're bringing it down here. That will be over the Thanksgiving weekend. So that's killer. So we're doing things that will uplift your consciousness. You know, the things that come here is conscious. Conscious music. We do Qigong. If you want to come here, you can do Qigong. On weekends, free, and that's to bring your immune system up, to go within your body and balance your chi energy. So, and then, you know, we have a health side that we do. It's like all-inclusive for the family. We do, at 4 o'clock on Sundays, we do a program for children, and we're working with the House of Blues to do a performance at the end of this series, and so the kids will be at the House of Blues in February. So you know, it's centers. We get people; they want world beat centers all over the world. In fact, we got one in Peru, and we're starting one in Tijuana. You know, we're very big with the Mexican kids in Tijuana. They can't get over here, so we got to put concerts on that side of the border. In fact, we have one tonight. We have a ska concert with the Scatolites.
So, well, you've mentioned Bob Marley. So he was a friend of yours from the
Yeah,
past.
Bob Marley, his wife Rita, and the whole crew, and Judy Mowat, all those guys, Marcia Griffiths, which was the highest of the I-3s. You know, those sisters that were behind Bob. There was his wife, Rita, and Marcia Griffiths, and Judy Mowat. And they call themselves the I-3s. They were definitely friends of mine. They looked at me kind of funny when Bob brought me on the bus when he was doing Babylon by Bus. And the sisters were looking at me, you know. And we laugh about that to this day. But, yeah, I go to Jamaica. I'm getting ready to build. I'm working on a place that I hope all of you guys come and bring the kids and everything, that you'll be able, right in the grill, that you'll be able to rest and do meditation and rejuvenation and come back in Babylon and work for the liberation of the planet. But we need to get away, and some of us don't have the money to get away, so we want to build really cheap, you know, inexpensive places that you can come, rest and rejuvenate and learn eating right and meditation and Qigongs and all those different things in Jamaica.
Well, that sounds nice. I'll
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I have to show you the pictures.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, other than being friends with them, you helped create the first ever Bob Marley birthday celebration
right.
here in San Diego.
That's right.
And it's been happening since 1981.
Right.
So, other than being a friend, tell all of us why you created
that. I got a good story for you. When Bob was sick, they called me. They said, Makeda lives out in California, and she knows that place that Steve McQueen came, and in Mexico. Because, you know, they got cancer cures places in Mexico. And then they called me, and then I talked to Bob, and I said, you know, the clinic said, if we accept him, he can't take any chemotherapy. And I told Bob. I called him. He was in New York, and he collapsed in New York. Well, I was jogging once and everything, and then on stage. So I said, Bob, you know, you can't take any more chemotherapy. They wanted to, you know, you sent him a urine sample, you know, some certain things. And he said, I don't want to do any more chemotherapy. I don't want to do it anymore, you know. So I sent him some things. They needed a period of time that the chemo would clear. And I sent him some things, but he never got it. And I talked to him, and he goes, no, they didn't give it to me, you know. And Because he wanted to be where he's natural and everything else. But the next thing I know, they took him to Germany. And later on, then Florida, when they couldn't do anything for him. Bob Marley was a very, very nice person. He was very compassionate, and he didn't even leave a will. Those guys were fighting over, you know. And
wow.
Yeah, they still, you know, the reason why we're not calling it Bob Marley Day is because, you know, they're coming back. I didn't think I would be affected. I could have fought it because of the statutes of limitation. But using the name, I can't use it. So this year, we've been working on it. It's called Tribute to the Legends of Reggae Music.
Well, McKady, you've worked with everybody in the reggae world, it seems. Who would you like to work with in the future? I mean, where is reggae moving in the future? You know, we've talked about other artists, you know, mixing their specific genre of music with a different genre of music, such as maybe Latin music mixing with hip-hop, or Middle Eastern tribal music mixing with new electronica. So where do you see reggae moving in the future?
I see reggae moving in Latin America. Reggae en Español is really big. I do a group called Cultura Profética, which is very, very hot. And one of the groups is Los Cofres. Los Cofres is really hot. And our own Kino from Big Mountain is really popular in Latin America. I see Latin America and the reggae en Español is one of the hottest music of reggae that's going right now. In fact, Ziggy was just in Brazil and also in Peru. I was there. The concert didn't go off, but, you know, because of some political things in that area. But it was going to be a great concert. So I see reggae en Español, which is really music that I love. You know, Los Cofres, and you should check it out. And right now on Reggae Mocosa, I play a lot of reggae en Español.
Oh.
Yes, a lot of reggae en Español is played. So that's one of my favorite music is reggae en Español. In Panama, you know, it's really happening. So that, and you know, the Latin American market is like a huge market.
And there's a lot of people, you know, that are living in the United States that don't realize that in countries like in Panama, those people are African Latin.
That's, you know what, I'm so glad you said that, because that's what we're dealing with, Afro-Latinos, and we're working in Colombia, and we're working at Costa Chica, in Mexico. The African presence of Mexico and Latin America is rising, because they put them down for years, and now they're rising, and they're the voice of reggae music, and even the regular Latinos are looking to Africa and looking to their African roots.
Yeah.
So that's a big movement, and I say reggae en Español. I mean, keep looking. And I always, as you notice at Bob Marley Day, always have reggae en Español.
Reggae Español, it's hot.
That's it. Caliente. Picante.
Si.
So, Makeda, can you also explain ragamuffin reggae music to us?
Raga, you know, it's a beat. It's upful with roots, you know, there. And, you know, it's a whole, you know, Stephen, you know, Marley, I mean, he always stays ragga. And there's a lot of different ragamuffin reggae artists. Half Pint, and which we're gonna have at the World Beat Center here in January. But you know, there's just all kinds of dub, which Mad Professor is into dub music. A lot of kids are into dub right now. Dub is, you know, our jungle. The jungle music and dub are crossing, electronica. All these things are crossing each other with reggae music, and I love it because it shows the oneness, you know, of it all. And jungle music, you know, I'm a junglist, so it's a ragga jungle is incredible. When they put the ragamuffin guys in there rapping, you know, like the ragga is the rapping on there, and so you get these guys in there rapping over the jungle, and you know,
could you do a little ragamuffin for us?
Oh, ragamuffin. So, you know, I'm just a DJ, but You know, it would be, you know, one, two, this reggae is for you. Three, four, so you don't come back for some more. Five, six, nobody play no funny trick. Seven, eight, me don't deal with no hate. Five, six, no, you know.
Right. Look at the drums are joining in.
Yeah, man.
And roots reggae.
Roots is like the slow one drop, you know, and it's really, you know, it's the music that's, you know, really heartbeat original about it's rootical, you know, it's the slower sweet reggae music. When reggae music was really sweet, they used to say, well, when it hits you, you feel no pain. So that's the sweet part of reggae music, is the roots music, you know. Also, we're dealing with you know, with Dr. Dub, we've got dance hall with the Buju Bantans, and you know, which the dance hall artists are in trouble right now, Capleton, because of their homophobic lyrics.
Yeah, I read about
so
that.
They've been really in trouble, you know, because you know, it's been coming, because I don't play anything homophobic, you know, and or anti-Semitic or anti-woman or anti-anybody, you know. Mm-hmm. You didn't hear Bob Marley singing about that, you know. You don't hear Ziggy singing about that. You know, the really conscious, or Don Carlos, or any of those artists, because you can't spread hate, and it's, you know, a lot of one of the head of the gay organization, Jay Flags, got murdered. But you know, they say, well, it's the religion, or it's in the Bible, so you can see some of the things that King James have done in there, you know. So it's about oneness. I don't think Christ would have discriminated against anybody, because he went down where there were prostitutes and hung out with the gamblers and whatever.
And none of the big world prophets ever discriminate against anybody. It's the people that follow after their passing that create
right.
their own thing. But what do you think is the biggest misconception of reggae artists then?
That they all smoke dope and smoke ganja, and you know, that the music is just about ganja, and then it gets lost in the bars, and you know, and then there's drinking, and I really don't like what's happening with reggae in the bars, because it didn't start that way. It didn't start that way. It was like community, family, babies running around, and you know, and they didn't want reggae in the bars. Nobody wanted them, because you know, they didn't. The reggae people didn't buy drinks. They just bought waters.
Hmm.
So when they got them into drinking a lot, you know, then the drinking got into with the reggae. It got popular in the bars. But you know, reggae's, I mean, you can't hear the message when you're drunk. You
right,
know,
right.
And the herb was for meditation. You know, the music and it was for that meditation of it, instead of being recreation. You know, it's almost like peyote or something. You know, somebody going to out on peyote. It's a ceremonial. It's there. It's in meeting. It's there for vision. It's there for with the medicine man. Same way with herb, you know, it's used to for the nerves. It's used to, you know, for relaxation, to meditation, you know, with those things. But now alcohol has been introduced, and there's a lot of drunk people in bars, and it's really sad, because I think about them leaving the bars and killing someone. You know, when I'm in the bar, I see a lot of drunk people, and I don't know how they drive.
Yeah, well, they don't. They crash, or
so I you know. So reggae music, that's what the World Beat Center is about, because there's, you know, you have to come here. There's no alcohol in here, and you have to get the liberty of reggae music.
So Castro, Fidel, what was it like to meet him? Not very many people get to go to Cuba, especially people that live in the United States. So what was that like?
Well, you know, that was before the heavy sanctions and all that stuff. It was incredible to meet him. We went to with the Pastors of Peace. I didn't know I was going to get to meet him. You know, we took medical aid to Cuba and art, you know, for the with the artists, and we work with them, and I went in also teacher's capacity. It was a blessing. I feel, I mean, I don't think the government should tell you who to see and not to see, and put fences on it. You know, we were actually nomadic as people. We're gatherers and hunters. And it's a shame that there's fences and we can't move freely like we used to do. He was a very incredible person, very educated. He was trying to tell me how many times they try to kill him. And he was telling me all the devices that they one time they had in the camera and whatever. Also, what I saw in Cuba was a lot of rich people took, the black people couldn't even go on the beaches, and the poor people. And Cuba was a playground for very rich people before. And yeah, you could say what in the gambling casinos, you could say what you want, but it has the literacy rate. You know, everybody reads. There's doctors, and they train doctors in other countries. And Cuba's, there's no homeless.
And you were there, it says on your website, you were there talking to him about art and culture and bringing art and culture into his country. Is that right?
Yeah, because they were more interested in other things, you know, baseball and stuff like that. But I was there to really represent the artists, and I don't think his interest was too much with art.
He's a very masculine man, so he's probably more into the baseball and that.
So and the artists needed pencils, and they needed a lot of art things, you know. So I was definitely there because art is really important to me, and music. So there's music, incredible music they have over there, and anywhere there's music, there's no walls, because music has no language and music has no borders.
Oh yeah, well the drummers coming out of Cuba are some of the best drummers in the world. I mean, that's hands down, that Latin Cuban thing that they've got going on is so powerful.
I want them to stop this embargo because it's hurting the musicians. It's hurting art. And we as artists should not be caught up in any kind of political division. You know, art should be able, because that's what they were letting through in those days. Art should be able, and music should be out of any kind of political struggle. It should be allowed to flow. And it should be allowed to be the ambassadors of that country. And we should have a big, huge world festival that we allow all musicians from all countries to come and play in peace, you know? So music makes you happy. Music, you know, music is not competitive, you know? It shouldn't be, you know? And we should be allowed, Cuban music should be allowed to be here. I like, one of my favorite groups is the Orishas, and you know, I want to see them, you know. I want Cuban music here. I love Cuban music. It was the best music, man. You can't even stop moving when you're in Havana, you know, you're on the Malecón. Just incredible music, man. And I don't like divisions. I don't like wars. I don't like this. When it comes to art, I mean, we do in Iraq alone, all kinds of art was destroyed. It was incredible, you know? So hands off art and music.
Well, the only kind of contact I have with the Orishas is through MySpace. So MySpace is...
You like the Orishas too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
I'm such a big world music person, so yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm always... But, well, WOMAD is trying to do what you said. Mm-hmm. And WOMAD did come to the United States, but it just didn't catch on here because the people here are not really connected in with world music. That's why I'm so interested in helping to promote those people like Prophet Productions and other production companies that promote, world music. So
you missed Bela Day.
Yeah, well, I
miss. That was incredible. You would have went crazy. It was with a group called Albino. It was one of the best groups I've seen. Incredible.
That's awesome.
But we have you down for Les Nubians, so we want you to come to that.
Oh, well,
They're from Cameroon. We got to keep the world music going.
Definitely.
But it's not enough that gets here, and that's what World Beat Center is trying to do, is bring that music that is in L.A. down here. Just like jazz, we plan to do the son of John Coltrane in March. John Coltrane's son, Ravi Coltrane.
Wow.
So, yeah. So,
oh, and cool.
The jazz concert we have is going to be killer, so we want you here too.
Oh, thank you.
Is there any last things you would like to say to the listeners, Makeda?
Well, you know, you know me, I got a gift to gab, I said it all. But
thank goodness.
It's me on radio, you know, so it's easy to. You have to be that way to be on air, you know. When I was a kid, I didn't talk very much. I start talking about 16 or something. But we all must come together as a people, as a whole. It's very important that we are all responsible. We take responsibility in this world. And when I'm gone off this planet, I hope all of you will continue with the World Beat Center and have for your children. And also all the things that, you know, that I left it, you inherited from me. And the World Beat Center is what you inherited. Reggae Makosa is what you inherited. You got to keep it going on. In a conservative town that I grew up in, that my mother was a maid and my father shined shoes, that had a third grade education and a sixth grade education, that's what my mother had. But she always read. Keep reading, because those who read shall lead. You know, we have the internet. You know, keep your mind open and question authority, you know, always. You know, just don't get complacent. Live simple, you know, so you don't have a lot of debt. When they want to get you in debt, that means, you know, you'll turn your head against injustice. Never turn your head against injustice. Be willing to give up even your life for your brother and sister. And that's a hard thing. But if you see something happen, you can't turn your back on injustice. You know, to be willing to get out there and save the world for our children and our children's children's children is very important. You know, respect to our ancestors, respect to our parents, respect our mothers and fathers. They may not did a great job. They didn't know. They were in a sub. They had, they their lives were miserable because of their parents and their parents before that. So I want us to, in San Diego, have an example to the world. You know, just really come together with all colors and all races of people, because we're one. And Africa is Africa is a continent that we all come from. No matter what color you come from, as Peter Tosh said, you're an African. And we should not ever forget Peter Tosh. Bob Marley, that was different. He was the Malcolm X of reggae music. Bob Marley, was the Martin Luther King of reggae music, and Peter Tosh was the Malcolm X. He was more militant. He was out there. He was telling them. Bob was about peace and love, and you know, and the people, you know, gaining their power still. You know, it's power to the people. Take back your power, and the power is to know who you are spiritually. Look within yourself and know yourself. That's it. Knowing yourself and being calm under any circumstances and being able to look at your anger and know your anger is you and not going to blame with anybody. No matter what Bush and any of those people have done, we're a collective consciousness of that. We allowed that to happen. We're part of that. Every time you hate someone, there's war. Every time you don't ask for forgiveness and you don't forgive the other person, there's war. We're doing that. And we're using, you know, that this government as a scapegoat. Oh, no. We're proud of it. It's collective, you know, karma. So when we have to change ourselves within, so this will never happen again, that we never put people like that in that's going to destroy the whole planet. So we have a big job. It's really important. You know, we got to take back our rights, and our rights as Americans have been taken away from us. So it's very, very important to take back those rights, and those rights, you know, is taking back, you know, ourselves, you know, and taking back our true identity and getting out of so much materialism. We don't need a new car every year. We don't need we don't need those. Live simply, because that's where they got us. And again, eat good, because you do not want to go in those hospitals. So it's really important that you learn the laws of your ancestors, of herbs and everything. When you get sick, get Golden Seal, get Echinacea, because they're destroying the herbs. They're taking away the seeds. Do you understand? They're making everything GMO. This is very serious. So we got to get, that's why I'm on all levels. My mother used to say, why don't you do one profession? She couldn't understand why I had all these professions. Your restaurateur, I went to culinary school and food service management school. She said, she was about like, don't. First, she didn't like me going into the restaurant field, and then I went to the restaurant field, and she was so happy I was getting all these reviews, and then when I was leaving the restaurant, she didn't understand the music industry and everything, but it's so important because if you grow your own food, make sure your kids eat really good, because, so we don't have sick kids, and they give them the vaccinations that we don't even know what's in those vaccinations and everything, so it's really important to make sure our kids eat our greens, eat really good, make a juice of your drugstore, fast, at least fast one day a week. If you can't fast one day a week, so many times a year, fast and pray. Prayer is very powerful. Prayer is powerful. If we pray, it's your mind intention. Whatever you intend, whatever you put out there, you will draw back. There's a great video out that called The Secret. You should look at that, and also, what the bleep we know. So all these things are telling us whatever we think we create. So it's very important to create good thoughts. Take your time, meditate, take time alone, walk outdoors. It's very important to walk outdoors, and read good books so we can change this world. There's one people, there's one God, there's one destiny. Liberation for all people on this planet.
Thank you.
Thank you, Makeda. You heard it here. PiratePods.com.
Would you mind giving an R for Pirate Pods?
All right, man. So this is Pirate Pods. This is Makeda Dredd for PiratePod.com, and the only true news that you'll never get on CNN.
R. Thank you.
I'm a Leo, so I like that.
I think that's the best art.
Yeah, it is. Thank you.
I like that.